President. talked about that Sunday afternoon church service. Enjoyed the food this past Sunday. It was cold and it was quick, and everybody got what they needed to get. And we got back up here, and everybody fell asleep. So, hallelujah, to be preaching this Wednesday. Remember, July the 6th, we got an anniversary meeting coming up with Mike Olkin. That will be, we'll have hamburgers and hot dogs, and it'll be cooked by the hamburger truck that did it the last couple of years. So we'll have some cooking anything. We'll just come and enjoy the service. But Mike will be ready for service here on Sunday. So I know we all have a book of requests. We all got requests in our heart. Let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Give us. We appreciate your work. We appreciate what you've already done for us, and we're looking forward to what you're going to do for us in the future. Lord, the world's falling apart. All the people on either side are trying to decide what to do. But Lord, we know who wins the battle. Lord, it's you. And you win the battle through us, the bride of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Lord, for putting us in this time. Probably God said if he had a choice, this would be the time he'd want to be here. Well, that's the same way with us. It would be another, no other place but right here today. Father, just be with us now. Bless us. Be with the ones that are sick. Be with the ones, Lord, that sense they probably that have issues and problems. I pray that you touch each one, Father. Just bless us now. Keep us from this heat, Lord, that's coming in the next few days, Lord. I pray that you just give us wisdom, Lord, to use that and stay hydrated and stay out of the sun, Lord, and be the best we can, Father. We pray that you just come among us in a special way in this service, Lord. Just bless us in Jesus' name. Okay, part 10. Let's go to Romans 8, verse 1. Because what we need to do is, I was thinking yesterday, we come into the, head toward the pinnacle or the, writing the check. You've been able to write the check, blank, and God hands it to you. But we've got to come down to a place to where, as I was saying a couple of Sundays ago about communion, we've got to start realizing what the Bible said about us if we're born again. If we're born again, we've got to start realizing that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now remember, we as Christians have sins. Okay? We sin every day. The thoughts that we have that we turn down, that we dismiss, that we don't want to think that anymore. That's a sin. Because we need to have the mind of Christ, but we know we have that old Adamic nature, and we know that Satan is right there with us. But we can overcome that because God told us we could. Alright? For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin condemned sin. He condemned sin not just in your soul. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You be seated. We'll finish the rest, read the rest of this in Romans. This is continuing on down in Romans 8, verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are not going to be, but we are the children of God by the new birth. All right? Everybody with me on that? By the new birth, we are children of God, and the children then heirs, heirs of God, as we were speaking the other day, joint heirs with Christ. Whatever Christ gives, we get. He got the body change, we got body change. There's healing in him. There's healing power through us. There's healing power through us. All right? We in ourselves are not sufficient, but him inside of us makes us sufficient. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be, what, glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. If we look at Ephesians, we'll look at this real quick. But I still want us to understand that God, before the foundation of the world, he predestined your journey by foreknowledge, by knowing, and I'll read a quote here in just a few minutes. I found it just a few minutes ago. I've been looking for it. Where Brother Brown came, he said, would, the Bible says he would that all be saved. He would that every person that ever will come through a womb would be Christians or born again. And he had it available for them, but he knew they wasn't going to ever do it. It was just going to be a select few, and that's who he came and died for. All right? But he knew that before the foundation of the world. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him. Not of him, but in him before the foundation of the world, we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption. So he didn't just predestinate us to eternal life. You with me? He didn't just predestinate us to eternal life. He predestinated us for a journey that's going to, we'll see in a few minutes, that it came from eternity and it's going back to eternity. Alright? And you and I have to choose whether we want to be connected to that or not. Plugged into the eternal, as Brother Ernie Bill in the way was saying. According to he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. You know why he did that before the foundation of the world? To make sure he got everybody. Before the foundation of the world, in the mind of God, he died so that Adam would have a covering, so God wouldn't kill him right then. Because remember, he didn't die on Calvary until 4,000 years later, after Adam, or 6,000 years after Adam, 1,000 years after Adam. But he had a provision made there already before the foundation of the world. So having predestinated us to the adoption of children, I told you last week, this adoption is so important. It's so important. We're not going to take a body change without coming to some kind of authority over the devil. That's why I read that. There's therefore no condemnation. Because we do. We condemn each other. We condemn ourselves. We condemn everybody else. But the Bible says there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And then we got to see that we are predestined. Luther was predestined for a journey. Wesley was predestined, but remember, every journey that comes up, everything that comes with God is an advancement. God don't ever go backwards. He goes forward. So everything he's got is forwarding. You and I are forwarding toward the adoption, because without adoption, as Brother Brown said, coming into speaking condition, without that, we're just going to continue to be here. We're going to be here, and another generation is going to die. That's what happened in the wilderness. God, 3 days journey, took them to Cadesh Barnea and said, I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to take you into the promised land. Right? 40 more years later, 70 years later, or 60 years later, after the prophet passed away, there's people still wandering around in sin, wandering around in the wilderness, wondering what this and what that. But you and I, there's got to be a group of people. There's got to be a Joshua and a Caleb group of people that takes this thing and says, we're more than able to do it. Even though we're laying on a bed of sickness, even though we're sitting and we thought we'd done the worst we've ever done, there's still got to be a people that's got to stand on their feet and say, it's me. I am the one that God has predetermined that he saw me wanted more than I wanted anything else. More than life itself. More than wanting to go to a ball game or go to this or go to that. More than that. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to good pleasure of his will, not to us. Listen, we have to overcome our will. You know who overcome his will? Jesus Christ overcame his will. Is that right? Brother Brown said he overcame in the garden. He didn't overcome the Calvary. He overcame in the garden. He had to yield himself and say, not my will, but thy will be done. To the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us. Look, he's made us accepted in the beloved. Now, who's the beloved? That's Jesus Christ. We got to quit talking ourselves down off of the mountain. We need to be on the mountain. We need to be climbing and going up the mountain. We don't need to be talked down out of the mountain. Everybody with me? We're mountaintop people. Come on. We're mountaintop people. We're not the foundation. We're the mountaintop. We're the peak or the pinnacle of what God's been looking for since he left the earth and said, I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. You you do these things, you can go preach the gospel, and I'm going to come back and get you. Oh, praise God. If he hadn't said that, we wouldn't have no hope. But now we've had denominations that have a partial hope, and we were talking about the other day about Reuben and Gad and Manasseh going over and helping in the promised land and coming back. They just didn't come to full growth. They went up. They were children. They were Israel. They were of the tribes that God said, these are my 12 tribes and I don't have any more. This is it. It's okay. This is my bride. I don't have any more. This is it. But you can decide whether you want to come. See, remember, they went backwards. You don't supposed to go backwards in God. You're supposed to go forward. The other 9.5 tribes, they went forward. They went into the promised land, stayed there, overcame. But that Luther, Wesleyan, Pentecost, that group of people, they were not predestined. They didn't have enough word to get them to the pinnacle. You say, what do you mean? Well, yeah, they had the Bible. They had all kind of advanced. Look at us. We've got the Bible, all kind of advanced. We can pull up a quote almost on your Apple Watch. Can you do that? Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. But here we are with the advancement we have. We know that God sent us a prophet, so there's no dealing with that. That's not something you can argue about it all you want to, but I'm not going to argue with it. God sent us a vindicated prophet. He sent us a vindicated word. He sent us a word for us in our day because it was predetermined that somebody is going to come to adoption. I said somebody, not everybody. I mean, God was pleased with Manasseh and Gad and Reuben. But remember, because they were children, just like the prodigal son, he was a child. Even though your children are out in the world doing what they're doing in the world, some of us, they have them out there, they're still our children. They came from us. They're our progeny. And we continue to plow the token to them. But you better make sure you got the token to apply. 8:29, for them he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. If we look in the book of Revelation, Revelation 3:14 says, talks about the beginning of the creation of God. Well, that's the firstborn, the beginning of the creation of God. We've come back to, as Paul told us, that we are the church of the firstborn. We're not the church of the second part of the Trinity. We're of the firstborn, right? The one firstborn from the dead. The one that's to come to maturity. The one that's come to eat the full corn of the land. Not to just eat the manna. The manna's okay. The manna's fine. The milk's okay. But Paul said we can't just keep drinking milk. We've got to eat meat. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among the brethren. Now watch, moreover, okay, so Paul, what he said, moreover, I'm going to tell you something else. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Romans 8, verse 1, and therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And that word there, we talk about predestination, or we talk about foreknowledge. Is knowing something before it happens or even exists. And that's how God is, and we'll look at it in just a minute. I have something I want to try to get to us. We read this quote, and sometimes it stumbles people because of the doctrine that we came here always from. We just can't see. I can't see that. I just want to believe I came here alone. I have no hope. replacement, but for some kind of redemption. All right, everybody with me? So that's why you have to have redemption. And redemption is not replacement. What's going to happen was Adam could have said, I don't want Eve anymore, replaced her with somebody else. Well, God's not in that. He's in the taking of you. He's taking you and changing you from the inside out, giving you eternal life that you should have had before the foundation of the world or in the Garden of Eden. Attached it to you, and that way it's going to do it. It's going to take you right back to where we should have been had it not been a fall. That's just so easy to see. But remember, there's points in between there. It's not just that we're going to be born again and then we become unconscious. And we just lay there. Or we just sit there. No, there's things we have to do. Because what even is predetermined destiny? What is destiny? You go through something. Destiny is, if I'm going to go to that door, I've got to walk from here to that door. So He predetermined our destiny, but He saw our walk. He saw our walk. And I'll read it to you in just a minute. Predestination looks back to foreknowledge. Hold on, I mean election. Election looks back to foreknowledge, and predestination looks to destiny. Don't forget that. Election looks back here. Now watch. What is the election of God? The election of God is the eternal part of God that He can't change His mind. Everybody with me one more time? We know election is a vote. But He saw you vote the right way. He saw you wanted more than the neighbor or the next guy or whoever that you talked about the message to and they turned it down. I was a cuckabird. I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Come to the world speaking lies. Born among sinners. Father and mother and all my whole family were sinners. He did not come from a real good family. I was a cuckabird. Why was he a cuckabird? He was born in the cuckabird family. It wasn't the Branham family. It was the sinner family. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But all of a sudden, what? There was a transformation. He became a weed germ. He had to take the old nature of the cuckabird out and put the new nature of the weed in. Everybody with me? That's exactly what happens at your new birth. It doesn't take your soul out and kill you or give you, or he's got a soul packed over here somewhere, and all of a sudden, you just have this new one. That'd be replacement. That'd not be redemption. We're looking at redemption. The greatest miracle is that He can take something that looks unredeemable. Oh, come on, somebody. He takes something that looks unredeemable and redeem it and show it to the devil. The devil's still going, I know where they came from. I know what they did. You know what you did. I was there. You were there. But that real weed germ was never there. It wasn't born in sin. It wasn't saved in iniquity. It was born by the breath of God. It was born as Adam was born. Now, Adam was full grown. We don't understand that in the beginning. But remember, Adam needed a sacrifice just like me and you need one. So I want you. Election before the foundation of the world elected that the cuckabird was to become the grain of wheat. Why? He saw the man that was a cuckabird wanted to be a wheat. He didn't want to act like a cuckabird no more. What he had done was he had found some wheat people. I didn't say weak, I said wheat. He found some wheat people. Got around the wheat people and decided he didn't want to be a cuckabird no more. Ain't that what happened to me and you? I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. I got sick and tired of going through the motions. Now I know I'm a grain of wheat. Why? Because I'm saved. How do I do it? Look back and see that He predestinated a long time ago. The problem that we have with the doctrine of the seed doctrine, of always having the seed somewhere inside of you, is number one, it's not scriptural to me. But if you'll just take and know that Brother Branham, he's looking at the eternal mind of God. So in the eternal mind of God, you never were sinner. That part that you are now. Everybody with me? That's what I'm saying. That eternal part that was here never changed. Now you came down here to what? To be developed, and you eat. You get an ache and a pain. You get an ache and a pain, so you have an ache and a pain. Now I know I'm afraid of weak because I'm saying, how do I do it? Look back and see now. You see, a lot of people say they'd run around and change the doctrine after the seal. No, the only thing that happened to the seal, like Brother Bob, all we've always said, when that seal opens, it opens up and tells you who you are. Who you should have been, and there'd have been no fault. You can look back and see that mind of God has come to you, and what you have inside of you, which is a paradox, what you have inside of you always was eternal. You were. So it's not the person that comes predestinated eternally. That's in the church age book. But the seed or word. There is no biblical seed. It's the word of God. God does not have sperm. I'm sorry. God has the word, the seed word of God. He said that's what he was. The sower went out to what? Sow a seed. Brother Jesus, what is that? He said, the sower is the son of man. Thank God. He had a little question and answer session. He said, the seed's the word of God. The sower is the son of man. He goes out and sows the word. It falls on good ground. It falls on some of this kind of ground. It falls on some of this kind of ground. Just real simple. So look, by foreknowledge, he seen that I would love him. Huh? By foreknowledge, he didn't see that I always was. He knew I always was. Because remember, he can't change his mind. I'm up here in eternity. There's a big friend right here tonight. It's called eternity. It's the mind of God. It's the foreknowledge of God. It's everything God is. Look at that just for a minute. At the word Elohim. But by foreknowledge, he seen that I would love him. So it was something I had to do. So he made a propitiation through his own son that through him I might become what? From a sinner, a conqueror. Down here, born in sin. If I wasn't saved, my soul's going to hell. Everybody with me? But a transformation to a grain of wheat. Now, where am I at now? I'm saved. I'm walking in the grace of God. What does predestination look? The destiny. In other words, your journey. What about a God that knows we have now 8 billion people on the earth right now walking on the earth? There's 8 billion people mind running. There's 8 billion people that are going to have a journey. Before the foundation of the world, he knew every one of them what journey they were going to take. What a mighty God we serve. So he said, look, where will he take me to, and where am I going? That's not you, there you are. So the eternity part, the mind of God, he said and saw and he declared. The only way I can declare what's going to happen tomorrow, I can guess. I can maybe get 50% right. But if I do a vision some way, saw all 24 hours coming up in front of me, I could predetermine a lot of stuff. And that's what he did. He saw it. He predetermined it by what you choose to do. So eternity is the mind of God. Now remember, the mind of God cannot change, will not change, never has changed, and never develops a new thought. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say Sister Kaylee, I meant to say somebody. No. That's not, that's him picking and choosing. That's him pulling your card and saying, well, I'll take this one, I'll take this one. But now remember, there was an origin to all this. And we've seen many, many times before, Brother Ram talks about Elohim, which is self-existent. But now remember, when he was self-existent, is when Genesis 1:26 comes into being. Everybody with me? When he said, let us make man our own image. Until he got to Genesis 2, I know all of you shaking your head, because we've been through this before, Brother Dale taught us this for 30 years, 40 years. When it comes to Genesis 2, he becomes Lord God, Jehovah with a family. Now he's talking about the family. But Genesis 1:26, that's why I'm trying to tell that brother, Genesis 1:26 is not all mankind. That's a special group of people that he became this Elohim, or he was Elohim. Everybody with me? That's how important, what are you trying to say? That's how important you and I are. We were in the very eternal mind of God. We can't fail if you'll just see that. If you'll see that we have found the truth, and God saw all this. But what He done, though, was, Brother Luis, He gave us a navigation tool. Listen, He gave us a navigator, the Holy Ghost. Because remember, the Holy Ghost you got inside of you already knew what you were doing. If it wasn't, then He's not eternal and God is. Come on. The mind of God just transferred down to what? A man named Jesus. Then that man Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'm going to send somebody else, not somebody else. I'm going to bring that same mind back in spirit form so that I can develop it a bunch of my kids, a bunch of my people. What a mighty God to serve. What a plan. What a plan of redemption. You say, what's this got to do with adoption? We've got to make sure we know where we come from. We got to make sure we know we are in the family of God. You can't be adopted if you're not the family of God. There's not a 13th tribe. There's not a 14th tribe. There's not an extra person. When He was self-existent, He said, I'm going to have this one, I'm going to have this one, I'm going to have this one. And they're going to be, they're going to be down at the end time. So I'm going to give them a prophet. And remember, as he developed us, He doesn't need development. But as He saw the plan unfold, He said, well, if that wasn't His will, everything is going to work to the will of God. Because it can't change. It can't change. But He knows who is going to get the closest. Now listen to me. That He knows is going to get the closest to that link. Some are going to turn it down. Listen, Reuben, Gad, Ephraim, Manasseh, they turned down not an opportunity to be saved. Come on. There is one. They turned down a further advancement in the promised land. And God said, okay, I'm going to let that happen because they're my children. But my perfect will is there's going to be 9.5 other tribes. And you know what is going to happen? What's going to happen is, when that was happening 4,500-some years ago, He knew that we'd be using it for an example tonight. He knew that we would see that that's what that was Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost, not going on with God, not going on with the firmament of the Word of God. But you and I are. We have no excuse. None. What do? By foreknowledge, He foresaw us, knowing that He was a Savior, self-existent. There was no angel, no nothing, just God, Elohim, self-existent one, nothing but Him alone. But in Him was Savior. Well, what's He going to say? There's nothing lost. Knowing that He knows that there's a great attribute in Him. Project something. Now what? Project something. Who is that? Us. He projected something. Us. That He could save. That when He did, then when it did that, by foreknowledge, He looked down and saw what? Everyone that would accept Him. To me, that blows all that other free stuff out of the way. He saw everyone that would accept Him. And He saw a group of people that wants to be positionally placed. Listen. If we don't come to adoption, as I said before, the whole plan of God is going to stop. And it will not. You can will yourself that I'm just going to listen to this, and then I'm just going to, as Brother said, I'm just going to come sit in the message church, and I'm going to be messaging. That's the word. I'm going to be kind of messaging, you know, and kind of just hang around with believers and try to live like it sometimes. I told somebody the other day, I said, look, this is the day of revelation. Everything. church positionally to watch before the foundation of the world when God in his labor pain was bringing forth in. Hold on. God before the foundation of the world when God in his labor pain was bringing forth in you knowing what you would do. He positionally placed you into his own body to be a housewife, to be a farmer, preacher, prophet, to be this, that. He placed you positionally. So you and I have to come to a place to know that we're a housewife or we're a farmer. Brother Preston, you know, a woman doing her duty, she could be an adopted child of God because she's in her position. A man with a lunchbox. Do lunch boxes anymore. Back when he was coming up, people had lunch boxes. Because there wasn't no Chick-fil-A that you could go to in the middle of the day. You got an old cold salami sandwich or something and some water, nothing bologna. And that's what you had for lunch. But that was the people that God's looking for. God's looking for people he can use. The only ones that will not be deceived are those that have come over into the promised land, who before the foundation of the world had their names put on the Lamb's Book of Life, and come over into the promised land and enjoying it. Now be careful, that's not saying that Reuben and them were not bright. It's no event, right? In quotation. But they didn't go on. They went over into the promised land, they helped them fight, they helped them do these things, and they came back over here. But God knows he's already put their name on the Lamb's Book of Life and come over into the promised land with the ones that are here now and enjoying it. You and I are not going to go anywhere unless we realize either we have crossed over or we have not. Everybody with me? Now when we figure out that we've crossed over, that's our next subject. We're going to see where you're going. Well, I want to do this. It's not what Joshua said. Remember, Joshua was kind of holy. He knew where to put those people, and they listened to him. I'm not here to positionally place you. God is. The Word of God is. I'm trying to get you to realize who you already are. I'm trying to get you to realize that what you got inside of you is what's going to carry you through, and we'll read it in just a few minutes. Remember the development. I just kind of stuck his hand the other day, but remember, he was our Father, he's our Savior, and now we got to be more intimate to him. He's our bridegroom. We're going to be in church age. The harmony is now just between the groom and his bride. He shows her his word of life. She receives it. She never doubts it. Therefore, nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Here is the secret of this. The word is in the bride, as it was in Mary. Now the bride has the mind of Christ, for she knows what he wants done with the word. There are people that are Christians, that are born again Christians, that still don't know what to do with the whole word of God. But you have got to trigger it, brother. Your daddy always said, trigger your predestination. God, I want to go on. You know, if you're going to be in your closet praying, you can thank God for what he's done. But remember what Brother Branham always tells us. You can thank him for what happened before. You can thank him for what's coming. But if you thank him for what you're in right now, and if you're in a mess, he'll tell you. And you'll know you're in a mess. So you say, God, I'm in a mess. I need to do something. I got to move. Some way, one way or the other. But she knows what he wants done with the word. That is adoption. That is knowing what he wants. Every move he makes, we know what he's doing. That's the move of God versus the move of the devil. She performs the command of the word in his name, for she has, thus says the Lord. When the word is quickened by the Spirit, and it comes to pass, like a seed that's planted in water. serving his purpose. There's no reason to cut corn down right now. The mature, the ears are not mature. It looks like corn. I saw something today pass by. God's got a real nice stand of corn. The ears are coming out. But that tassel, or that tassel that hangs off the end of the corn, it's not dry yet. So that means it's still growing. If you go out there and pull it off, you may have half the ear. See, we know as farmers, I know that you look out in the field, anybody's ever pulled corn, you know that that's got to either turn brown or be brown. Ready to fall off, some of it's already fell off, that means you're mature. Well, see, how do we understand that? By living through it, by reading books, by listening to tapes, we know when we've come to adoption. You can't depend on me, I can't depend. Brother Dale couldn't depend on Brother Moe, Brother Moe couldn't depend on Brother Brown. Tell me you're adopted. You've got to know that. You've got to know your place. I can agree with you as being the shepherd. I can agree with you. But I can't say now, you're supposed to be here and you're supposed to be there. See, that wouldn't be me. But through the preaching of the word, what's going to happen? You're going to realize. You're going to realize where you're supposed to be. Every time we listen, I just, there is no preacher in this message that truly is a believer. I may hurt your feelings. But people say that person is shallow. You're shallow. You're shallow. If he's preaching the message of the hour, and it's right, and it's true, if he just gets up here and says, you must be born again, and gives us some quotes, and I know that he's a believer and that he has the Word of God inside of him, I'm not going to be the one to say what he's preaching is shallow. I'm sorry, folks. That's just not right. Don't belittle the person if he's a man of God, because remember, he may have the pinky position. He may have the little toe position. Am I with me? Now, we want all that. We want all that. You know, we want the heart. We want the big, Brother Brown said, the big hairy chest of faith. You know, we want somebody to preach the seals all the time. Let's not tell everybody. That brother poured his heart out Sunday. And I understood him. He did what he's supposed to do. Were we to judge whether it was shallow? I can't think that. I can't think it. You can't be God. So your adoption is not your birth. We know that. Your adoption is your placing. So it is that if somebody is preaching something of them, somebody needs milk. But I'll promise you, the Ephesian church, they didn't start off, listen to me, they didn't start off with meat. So they were a new church. But what did they do? They got under a man like Paul, like Brother Branham, like some of the ones, Brother Dale, different ones, that had a message that had meat in it. So what did they do? They moved up into the meat category. Because remember, the church in Ephesus was, Brother Brown said, a mature church. And Paul could preach to them, because there was only 12 of them. But he could preach to them, and they'd understand what he said. They preached to the Corinthians, and then Paul goes and leaves and comes back a couple months later, and he's like, there's something I'm not here. Did you not hear what I said? Because remember, he got kind of fed up one time, and he said, what? The Word of God comes from you, and you only? What he said? No. God's got a many-membered body that he uses as he pleases, and I am pleased to know that body. I don't care who it is. I am pleased to be around people that are born again. You ought to be pleased to be around people that are born again. That ought to be something that you just, you want more than anything. want to earn Pentecost. Just say, I got born again. Praise the Lord. Got the Holy Ghost. Fine. You're a child of God. He didn't deny that. There were some of the old Pentecostal people that were born again. I mean, they had a messenger which was the Holy Ghost to give them the Holy Ghost. Right? You're a child of God. That's right. But yet, that ain't what I'm talking about. See, you were predestinated unto adoption. Adoption is placing a son. So what he's placing is this a position, an object's distance in a certain direction from a reference point. All right, what's a reference point? I am now a born-again believer. I am now a son and daughter of God. That's my point of beginning. Am I with me? That's my origin. That's why we had to be born again. Our first birth, sure, we clap and sing, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. The day I got born again, the angels were singing, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. Right? And they were in tune. So that's why Brother Campbell said that predestination looks back to the moment. For I now in my journey, you should in your journey, you should know, yes, that's where I came from. I came from the mind of God. I know I'm caught in this. Remember, Brother Rand said, you didn't have nothing to do with this. You were trapped into it. How many of you sitting here today had one thing to do with you being born? Zero. There was only one came predetermined to be born right, and that was the Lord Jesus. Now, the reason we have him in us now is we can realize that we were born wrong, and we can look back and see that before the foundation of the world, he gave me a place to receive it. He gave me an opportunity to receive that eternal life. But then now we don't stay there now, Brother Bob. It's a dip. We've got a direction to go to now. We got a direction. Listen, my reference point is a body change. A calling out of the dead of Christ rising first through a message that is a resurrection message. That's what the Son of Man message is. It's a message of resurrection. So look, a complete description of your position includes a distance, a direction, and a reference point. I know where I'm going. I know where I've been. And let me tell you something. I know what my reference point is, but now I've got the correct map to get there. I've got the entire Word of God standing in front of you. You and me today have the entire Word of God standing in front of us to be able to make that destination. And it takes a fivefold ministry to unfold it to us, but you've got to get it. being adopted right now, bring in the full favor of God, but we're up and down the nation now. This is in 1953. So he knows there's something coming. He knows there's something that he's trying to put to get the people to see. Pentecostals, I know you're born again. I know you love the gifts. I know you love, but that's not all. Come on up to this. When you're born again and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is coming to your heart, you have everything that you have need of for your journey. Now, the only thing you have to do is start drinking, drinking, pushing out, drinking, and pushing out. I believe he hears my analysis of Christ Jesus. He's the inexhaustible fountain of life. Shows the Father in 1953. Now, that's the way we are when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Do you see people do? Do you that born again? Now, watch. Do you that born again? When God planted you in Christ Jesus, which is the inexhaustible fountain of life, everything you have need of was put in you when you received the Holy Ghost for your life journey. And you say, why do we need him? Well, let's just go home. Let's just go home. We're born again. Let's just go home. No, you'll die. You don't feed the baby dies. Everything you have need of is put in you. Now listen, like I said before, last week, everything, when you were born and came out of your mother's womb, a boy or a girl, not switched around. Everybody with me? There's no new part you gained. So when you were born again in the Spirit of God, there was no new parts that you had to gain. Everything was inside of you. All of your hairs that ever pushed out of your head was inside of you. You got it from nowhere else unless you brush it, you get old, you get weak. Or you need to get teeth or somewhere else. But everything you need is inside of you. So everything at your new birth is there for you in your journey for your healing, your salvation, your joy, for your happiness. The only thing you have to do is push out. Drink, drink, push, drink, push. Hallelujah. Everything's there. You just have to let it loose. Go to pushing. Go to drinking. Go to stirring. Go to reaching out. Now watch he says. What did he end up with? Deeper depths, higher heights. It's all that. Alright? Here you do 1960. Brother Brown says, look, after that son was adopted, now watch what we're coming to. We'll start maybe on Sunday. A little bit closer to the opening. We'll get to the opening seal. But after that son was adopted, his name on the checkbook was just as good as his daddy's. There's where God's trying to get his church. 1960. Just say to this mountain, be moved, and it'll move. Authority. Sons of God. The whole creation is groaning. Romans 8, verse 14 through down about 20. The whole creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. God's not the author of confusion. We do the things that we're supposed to do because, you know what? We can either please God or displease Him, one of the two. But to please God is to do what His Word says. To please God is to do what the prophet of God tells us to do. The things He tells us to do, are we doing them all? He was taken out of a public place, a robe, an honor robe, perhaps purple, some color of royalty, and was set up in the whole city, all the people around seeing the father adopt his own son to the family. And then, when he was adopted into the family, look, already a son, already a child, already an heir of grace. But placed in the family, you get it, that when he was placed in the family, given his position, that that boy's name on a check was just as good as his father's name on the check. Now, I believe that that is the time that the church has arrived at today, that the next great move in the church is from God. After we've seen the false alarms, God will place his church correctly in apostles and prophets. See, you can't be placed without that. Without prophetical ministry, you can't be placed. Now, they're not going to tell you, but they're going to preach the Word of God. God's got a what? He's got a gift in each one of them to come and preach maybe over here this way just a little bit to get somebody to see who they are over here. Then another brother comes in, he preaches over here, and he preaches to this person over here. I mean, it's like Brother Wilson said, Brother Brown said, that woman said, he called me a buzzer. And the other sister that said the same identical church service said, he called me an evil. Well, now, what was the difference? It was what they were listening to. But I believe that it's time that the church has arrived at today. And I believe now, from 1960 to today, 2025, that I believe that that's where we're at. We're being placed by the Lord Jesus. But God will place into the church, not theology, but God will place in the church as God has chosen, as the Holy Ghost has tutored this church and raised it up. Now watch, and in there, God will adopt into his position, into the position, his sons. They're already sons, but whether they are worthy of the position, look, now watch, that he has for them. Worthy of the position he has for them. Well, I want to be a... Maybe God don't want you to. If you'll notice, in a perfect time, God did his own son the same way. Took three as a witness. Remember, Peter, James, and John. He'd take them up on a mountain, apart from the rest of the world. And what did he do? He officially adopted his own son. He was transfigured before them. His raiment shines as the sun. And a voice out of the clouds said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Stand him upon a mountain. Like I said, we're mountain people. Put the witness there to see it. Clothed them in a robe as bright as the sun, shining in the sun. They even shine like the sun in its strength. Watch. God spoke out, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. God adopted his own child into the family. Hear me no longer. You with me? Hear me no longer, but this is my son who takes over. That adoption is near the time in the parable of the church. It's time for that. We see the world, listen, the world is falling apart. It's teetering on its disaster right now. We know that. But you know what we know? We know one thing for sure. When you stand up and you see a man that almost can control the whole world already, to do what he says. Stop this war, stop this war here. And he got a little bit ill the other day when they didn't do what he said. Did you see what he uttered a word? The president probably couldn't have said. But I wonder how them evangelicals that prayed for him up there in Hawaii thought they did. But anyway, he did it for the world, but he was aggravated because they didn't do what he said. That's power without character. He has the power. He's the most powerful man on the face of this earth that Satan was. There's another man hiding in the background. That's the give me a check so that I can sign and put my kid's name on it. Isn't that what Hatteri did? Hatteri said, God, I need something. That ain't nothing but the truth. God handed her a checkbook. Of course, it was his name written on it because she was just a simple lady. But anyway, he filled it out. Whatever it was, Oscar and the other one, the two boys. Salvation of the two boys. Handed it to her. To him. Authority, though, was to the bride of the time. Christ had come to that place. You see, I'm scared. I'm afraid. I don't know what to do. There's only one book that you can read. Take the fear away from you, but the Bible. But man, I'm telling you folks, we're watching what John wrote from the Isle of Patmos. If he saw it by vision, he wrote it in a mystery. That mystery is now history to us. We're seeing the players. We know what they're doing now. We know how they're posturing and getting ready. Hey, what if I ran us slip up a little bit? Trump goes in and takes over the whole country. There sits Russia right above them. Iran produces 80% of China's oil. They don't know, but they produce 80% of China's oil. Russia's up here blocked from Iraq, which we've already got bases in Iraq and Qatar. And Trump said today, somebody asked him, he said, I can still China to buy oil. I can just tell China to buy oil from us. Oh, yeah, I can. I told them when we took over Iraq, we ought to just took their oil. He's a businessman. He sees dollar signs. They're trillionaires. He's about to be a billionaire. They're trillionaires. Because of the oil, Brother Brownson, when Russia comes down for that oil, you watch out there. We'll be gone. We gotta come to something.
Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle.
They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Take it to him. Oh, teach me, Lord, to wait while hearts are aflame.
God's going to come among his people. He's going to have to. Because the devil has got some real bad forces in this world. And they're going to come against us. But that's God's going to get us out of this thing. We might need some help. The power with character. It's been to rule. Rule one. Number one person you got to rule is yourself. Yourself has got to be rule first. You got to give yourself to God. And let Him be the ruler. And when He takes over, He'll use you. I pray, God, that that's all of our desire. That He'll take over us and rule through us. If He'll rule through us, that's the power with character that He's looking for. Oh, these belong to ways. Sing it to Him one more time. Oh, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle.
Thank you.